I believe that God made the world and even hung the stars. I believe we're living in the days like when Noah built the ark. I believe the story of Moses and how God parted the Red Sea. Oh, but most of all, I believe Jesus died for me. I believe that Joshua led God's children to the promised land. I believe that David killed Goliath with a little sling in his hand. I believe that Daniel was in the lion's den. Those lions were as gentle as could be. Oh, but most of all, I believe Jesus died for me. I believe if I had been the only one, still the Father would have sent his only Son. I know he came to set the whole world free. Oh, but most of all, I believe Jesus died for me. I believe a man will reap just what he sows. I believe the heavenly path, it's a narrow road. I believe he took the sins of all mankind and nailed them to an old rugged tree. Oh, but most of all, I believe Jesus died for me. I believe if I had been the only one, still the Father would have sent his only Son. To set the whole world free. Oh, but most of all, I believe Jesus died for me. Oh, yes, most of all, I believe Jesus died for me.
That song was been in the book, hadn't they? You could tell that. When you're in the book, you kind of talk that kind of language, don't you? That's good stuff. I'm glad he died for me. I hope you brought your Bible. I want you to read with us. It's old reading, but in the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus, the Apostle Peter one day was, the Lord was being betrayed, as we would call it. He was headed from the Garden of Gethsemane and they had took him away. All the other disciples fled. They done went their different direction. The Apostle Peter, Scripture said, he followed afar off. That meant he was close enough to see, close enough to hear, but wasn't right next door. Whenever he come to the part of his life whenever the denials took place. First one didn't hit home. Second one didn't hit home. Third one hit home. Boy, when that third one hit, that rooster began to crow. He remembered the words. Didn't remember them on one and two. This one kind of flew over his head. Boy, when that third one hit, and when it hit, he realized. One of the gospel gives the account that the Lord looked his way. Whew. Don't really need the Lord reminding me of my mistakes, but he sure does, don't he? Holy Spirit does that. Holy Spirit guides us. The Bible says he'll lead us in all truth. You notice that? He kind of, that comforter, he's going to come. He's going to abide. Revelation says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, I'll come in. That coming in part, that means you can do a whole lot of things. Bible tells us also to quench not the Spirit. Now, you can quench that Spirit. In other words, you live a life contrary to the will of God. That Spirit's quenched. It ain't what it wants to be in your life. You can say, well, I can turn it on and I can turn it off. Try it. Won't work. Try it. You can say, I can pray anytime. You can pray. I've said it many times, and many other folks have said the same thing. That prayer may not get out of that ceiling right way up there. You've got to be in the will of God. You've got to follow His will. Follow His direction. I'm going to read in Exodus, old scriptures, old words, read it and used it many times. But I want you to listen, and I hope you'll listen to me just a few minutes of time. I'm reading out of the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus, and I want to pick up reading about verses number 14. We've read it many times before, but let's read it again. And Moses went down from the mountain, and I believe it's Mount Sinai, which is... We know scripture that this is where the Lord meets Moses, okay? So Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people. You have to read earlier to know what he's really, the process. Sanctified the people and they washed their clothes. That's just a term. That's what they did. They cleaned up. All right, we're going to say it that way. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud. We don't have time, but I sure wish we had the time. That's a good one right there. So that all the people that was in the camp, the words trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for God, how you've directed us and how you've led us. God, throughout our life, we've had to depend upon you because every time we walked on our own way, we went the wrong direction. Oh God, how we need you today. God, how we need your guidance. God, we're going to have troubles next week, and I pray you help us through every one of them. Oh God, how we need you. God, let us search our hearts. God, if you find things in our life that need to be removed, God, just bring it to our attention. God, help us to pray. God, lead us now and have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Moses was leading God's folks. But Moses was leading God's folks only by direction of God. He didn't want to do that job in the beginning, but God said, listen, this is what I want you to do. And as he began to lead God's people, there come a different phase in their life. Because you see, they'd been around when Pharaoh had done the things that he'd done. They'd been around whenever the burdens of the people were worse than they were today, okay? Like us, there's a lot of times, sometimes things in our life get harder. Sometimes they might get easier, but we never know when our life is going to have the ups and downs. You might have the down, and I might be on the up. I don't know how this works. Many times the Bible tells us, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Many times my little list that I might take to God might be very small. But sometimes it just seems like I got so much to pray for, I don't know how it's going to ever stop. But God puts the priorities. Puts the priority. How do I do? I might list them as, here's my number one, all right? And then God, this is number one. Well, now God, wait a minute. This is not, you see, sometimes I got a whole bunch of number ones. But here in this passage, God was up on the mount. Boy, wouldn't we like to spend that kind of time where we could just go to that mountain? Well, friend, I got news for you. God's not over yonder. God's here. God don't all the time dwell over yonder with them folks. God dwells here. When we meet together, God's with us. We go out there in that yard out yonder. If we all go out there and we meet together, God's with us. Friend, we can go home. Y'all going to come to my house. When we meet there, God will be there. You see, it's funny how that is. If we'll meet in his name, God will be with us. God sent Moses, said, you go down off that mount. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to sanctify them folks. So that it is little processes, and we're just going to stick to that. And you tell them folks to get ready. Because in 3 days, okay? But you be ready. Because you really don't know when the Lord is going to show up. Bible says, be ye therefore ready for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man come. I really believe that when he comes, he's going to be like them virgins. There's a whole bunch of them that's ready, but there was some that wasn't ready. Whenever he comes, whenever that bridegroom calls, whenever that takes place, God's going to come, all right? The Bible says in Thessalonians, he's going to come like a thief in the night. You got to be ready. So he told him, come down. He come down off that mount. He goes into the camp. And when he goes into the camp, said, listen, you get ready, because we're going to go, and we're going to go to that nether part of that hill, that Mount Sinai, which is the lower part. That's where you're going to go. And the Bible said they trembled. They trembled. Now, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of folks that believe whenever the Bible says the dead, small or great, going to stand before God, and a book was opened, and then another book was opened, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. Friend, I believe there's a lot of folks that are going to think they're going to stand there in front of God and they're going to claim, listen, God, you wasn't fair. I got news for you. I believe there's going to be a whole bunch of trembling folks standing in front of God. You might think that you're going to tell God something, but I got news for you. You ain't going to tell God nothing. Because when you stand in front of an almighty God, God is holy, God is righteous. Friend of mine, my sins are so many. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, my sins would be standing in front of God. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. The Bible said, so he got them to come out of the camp. And when he got them to come out of the camp, they headed toward that low part of the mount. And when you get to that low part of the mount, You might think everything's going to be all right. Well, verses 18 says, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof
ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. I can't imagine this. God come down, and when God came down, man needed the smoke. Man needed the smoke because man can't look upon God, not in this old flesh that we're living, but because of that smoke descend, it would have been really, really something. You know that plane crash that happened in Louisville? Man, if you saw pictures of that, man, there was huge smoke. It filled the sky. It was for a long distance. That was smoke. On 9/11, if you watch that, man, there's a whole bunch of smoke on that day. That ain't the kind I'm talking about. I'm talking about the smoke that just engulfed this mount. But it wasn't the smoke of a fire per se, even though that's what it's described. It wasn't that kind of smoke. This was the smoke that was for protection for us to look. If we were at the bottom, at that nether part of that mount, and if we looked up, we knew it was God up there. There's a difference when you know God is presence. There's a difference when you know God is there. There is a difference in your life when you know God dwells within you. Now there's a difference. There, friend of mine, if God moves, I got to know the difference between indigestion. You see? I know what indigestion is, all right? Yeah, you got to know a difference whenever God speaks inside of you and tells you that be sure your sins will find you out. You got to know the difference. You got to know the difference whether you're lost or whether you're saved. You got to know the difference that you pass from death unto life. You got to know the difference whenever God speaks to you and you know it's a voice of God speaking into your heart. You can sanctify all you want to. You can act sanctified. You can look sanctified. You can be sanctified in your own eyes. But you better be sanctified in the eyes of God. Big difference there. The Bible said there was some happenings going on. There was some thunder and there was some lightning. There was a voice of a trumpet. All these things began to happen and they began to tremble. But friend of mine, here's where they were traveling and they were getting a little bit closer. Now let's go back to the Apostle Peter just for a moment. Whenever the Apostle Peter was walking a distance from the Lord. If you're walking a distance from the Lord, sometimes a lot of folks are comfortable walking a distance from the Lord. They don't want to get too close. It's kind of like sitting in church. If you ever want a good seat in a church, you better come early because them back seats fill up first. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that and all of y'all sitting on the back. There's plenty of room up here in the front. Just come right on up. You know what I'm talking about. Because sometimes we don't want to get too close. The preacher might spit on you. Uh-huh. That's pretty good. That's reading them front rules are always there. That's a spit zone, all right? But I got news for you. Listen, whenever you meet where God meets, well, friend, sometimes it's easier to be on that lower part. It might be easier. But I wonder who was closer to God, God's folks or Moses? We don't ever think about that. We like to think about when Moses was on that mountain and Moses come down off that mountain and he had that glow about him. We all talk about that. And that basket they had to put over his head because of glow. I got news for you. If I want to be close, I'd rather be close like Moses was than for the rest of the folks. I don't want to just walk close enough like Peter did. I'd rather walk closer and to be able that even when I disobey God, I'm close enough that he sees me. When he sees me, whenever I know he sees me, there is a reason to tremble. There is a reason to tremble. When David, I'm reminded of this because I really believe it would have been very easy for David to have been afraid on the day he fought Goliath with a sling in his hand. It'd be very easy to say, boy, you know David was scared out of his boots that day. But friend of mine, when you're close to God, when you get closer to God, When you get in the right frame of mind, friend, perfect love casts out fear. Fear. You see the reason why we tremble a lot of times? We're afraid. Afraid. You take an old dog, and that old dog, he's a barker, he's a man, he's got showing them teeth type dog, and the owner says, "Oh, that dog won't bite." You make sure you got a good hold of that dog, because he's showing every sign of a biter. He's a barker, he's a teeth shower, and he's a jumping. Make sure you hold on to that dog, because he got every sign of being a biter. Every animal I've ever been around, they give you those indicators. Pay close attention to those indicators. But a friend of mine got news for you. When you get close to God, God's not a biter. No, no. God doesn't show you those signs of fear. God shows you the signs of love. I must read you this. I know I didn't. I don't like to read a whole bunch, but I must read you this. This is what it says in, whenever we talk there. And over in this, just in the next little verses in chapter 20, here's what it says. In verses number 18, this is after reading all the commandments, verses number 18. And all the people saw the thunderings. Wait a minute. I thought we done read that. No, we're reading it again. In other words, it's two times. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. When they saw it, they removed. That means they went away. They went a different direction. Abraham one day got Isaac and some servants, and God said, "Go to a place that I will show you and offer Isaac as a sacrifice." And the Bible says as they journeyed, Abraham saw the place afar off. He looked. He didn't know where he was going. But he looked and he saw it afar off. Now listen to me. Whenever God shows you a place, he doesn't show you the place to run from it. He shows you the place to go toward it. These people, God sent Moses specifically to go to the camp, sanctify them, get them ready, get them out of that camp, and make them go to the nether part of that hill, that mountain, and there's where they're going to meet God. He didn't say go up in the mountain. No, sir. He didn't say climb. No, sir. He was willing to let them stay at the lower part of the mountain. Now I don't know about you, but God doesn't force us to be perfect after we're saved. God doesn't force us to live. Oh, why don't we live as close to we can? Oh man, if we could just live where we're all sitting on the front row. But that ain't where God says. God takes it as an individual thing what we do for Him. I'm one of those believers that believe in eternal security. I believe that one the day I got saved, friend of mine, I'm just as sure for heaven as if I was already there. I believe that from the bottom of my feet to the top of this head. I really believe that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. And there's many times that I'm disobedient, many times I do wrong, but I still believe I'm saved, and I'm just as sure as my name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life if I was looking at it myself today. Amen. Now listen to this. Whenever I walk closer, I'm happier. Whenever I walk closer, I'm happier. Peter would have been a whole lot happier if he'd have walked closer to God, even though he denied him. And Abraham, whenever he viewed the land, whenever he saw the place, somehow or another God poked him and said, there's a place. He saw it from afar, but he kept on walking to it, knowing that he was going to have to offer Isaac. But he had in his mind, said, I'm going to do what God said, because I can run that boy through with that knife and I can kill him, and God can bring him back out of hell. He can resurrect him, Johnny, on the spot. You see, he believed God, but he wouldn't have believed that if he wasn't walking closer. You've got to walk closer. You've got to make sure you're headed to the mountain. Friend, God's folks would have been really, really, really happy if they would have just stayed at the foot of that mountain. But no, they saw the lightning, they saw the thunder, they saw the smoke, they heard the sounds, and what did they do? They removed themselves. They removed. The other disciples that could have been with the Apostle Peter on that day could have been right there, but they removed. They went away. We, as small a number as we are, we have a choice, an option to remove ourselves or get closer. We got the choice. None of you are made. None of you said, well, listen, if you don't show up, you're going to die and go to hell. No, sir. If you don't show up, God's not going to bless you. No, sir. Friend of mine, it's a choice that every one of you make on a daily basis, how you live for God. Every day. Every day when you get up, you can choose to pray or choose not to. Every Sunday that comes around, every Wednesday that comes around, you make a choice. You make a choice whether you go to church or not. Ain't nobody going to say, well, where was you at on Sunday? Preacher may think it, but sure preacher ain't going to ask. Because if God does a whipping, the preacher don't do the whipping. Because if a preacher did the whipping, line up. But that ain't the way it works. Watch this. Verse 19 of that same chapter. Here's what it says. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. I'm glad it ain't that way today. I'm glad you don't come to me and say, preacher, you got to talk to God for me. I'm in a mess, but you got to talk to God for me, because I'm afraid if I talk to God, I'm going to die. Whew, boy, I'm glad we ain't there, because I got enough troubles without taking on yours. Friend of mine, when the Apostle Peter denied the Lord on that day, I'm thankful my name's not the Apostle Peter. Even though my sins are many, even though my sins are greater, even though I have done wrong, I'm thankful to the good Lord that I'm accountable for my actions. And when the Lord was trying to get them from the lower part of the mountain, they weren't comfortable. What's going to make us comfortable? What's going to make us comfortable? What's going to get us to the spot where we see ourselves? Listen. You don't turn. Just listen. Look it up later if you want to. Ephesians chapter 2. And listen what it says in verse 11. Wherefore remember. That's the first two words of that verse. Wherefore remember. Which means we're going to have to go back in our mind. We're going to have to open up our mind. We're going to have to think. Not right now, but think what we did in the past. Wherefore remember. Now listen to these words. A little word. That you being in times past Gentiles. Well, that's us. In the flesh, who are called uncircumcision. Now we don't understand that. That's a Jewish thing. We're Gentiles. by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Well, that's just Greek to us. We don't understand it. Go on. That at that time, ye were without Christ. Well, now I remember that. I remember saying, why do I need to go to church? Jesus was a Jew, and I'm not a Jew. Why in the world would God speak to me? I was not one of God's chosen people. But here's what God said. Jesus said he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But to as many. I come under the category of being grafted into the family of God. Here's how that worked. And at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Bingo, that's all of us. We are everyone strangers. Every one of us, we have no knowledge of God. None of us were invited to the hill. None of us. But here, along the mountain, that could have been thundering, could have been lightning, could have been a voice, could have been smoke. But all of a sudden, somebody comes speaking to us that we're alienated. We were strangers. Here's what it says. But now in Christ Jesus, you were sometimes were afar off. We were far off. How far off were we? Friend, it's easier for us to stay out of church than it is to stay in the church. It's easier. Whenever I was growing up, they used to put Bonanza on 7 o'clock on Sunday night just so I'd have an excuse to say, oh, Mama, let's don't go to church. I need to watch Bonanza. You know what I'm talking about. But I'm glad that Jesus give a different reason. And here's what he said. Here's how he said, and I'll close. I know our time's gone. But now in Christ Jesus, you were sometimes were afar off, are made near by the blood of Christ. You know the reason why that a lot of folks are afraid to go to the mountain? Because they're afraid of what God's going to bring. What's God going to bring? What's God going to bring to you today? Because if you come to an old-fashioned altar bench and you bow on your knees and you ask God to save your soul, what's God going to bring? Bible says old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's what God's going to bring. He'll change your life. Not me. He will. There's no matter church religion will ever make a change in you. But friend of mine, if you come to Jesus Christ, he can make an overnight, over second change in your life that you're a new creature. Bingo right there, Johnny on the spot. My friend, do you know something? I'm glad there were thunders and lightnings on the mountain. And I'm glad that God trembled, make me tremble. But I'm also glad it's possible for me to get saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what will bring me nigh or near. That's that drawing power. That's whenever I get to that mountain, I want to go up a little bit more. If I can get just a little bit, you remember whenever Moses came down off the mountain, when he had them commandments, there was Joshua. He was a part of the way up. Friend of mine, I'd love to be able to pass Joshua on the way up. I'd love to be able to get a little bit closer. The closer we get to God, friend of mine, the closer the nigh we get to God, the nearer we get to Him. Friend of mine, you think your life's going to be worse off? No, it's going to be better off. We need a closer walk with God. We have to have it. Because if not, the alternative is a closer walk with the devil. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? Are you afar off? are you at the foot of the hill? You determine where you're at. And you determine if God's speaking to you, whether you need a change in your life, if you've never been saved, that you need to be saved. Because, friend, if you keep on putting off what you're putting off, one day you're going to be old and it's going to be too late. Because today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow belongs to eternity. Let's have a song, brother. Don't know your heart or life, but I know the Lord. I know that the reason why we're here today is not just to promote church membership. No, sir. No, sir. It's not to be able to say, oh, look here, what a good work we're doing. Oh, no, sir. No, sir. The only reason why we're here is to see you saved. A closer walk with God is the only reason. Because one day this old boy is going to close his eyes. He's not going to open them up again. I'm going to go to a better place. I've got a promise of that. But do you have that promise? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to leave this world? You're going to go to a better place. There's only two. It's either heaven or it's hell. If you've not been saved, come to know Him today in the free pardon of sin. May we stand and sing a verse of this song. God speaking to you, you come today.